Hi everyone, and welcome again to our Don't Blame the CRM podcast. My name is Mikko, one of the co-founders of Vainu, and today with me I have Johanna, who's chief sales officer at a company called Dear Lucy. Welcome, Johanna.
Hey everyone, thanks Mikko, and excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me today.
And as always, we'll talk about B2B sales, RevOps, the importance of data. But before we jump into the topics today, why don't you briefly introduce yourself and talk about your background and experience in B2B sales?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I've been in B2B sales for around 10 years, and out of those, in global SaaS sales for around 5+ years. This is my second SaaS scale up that I'm globally taking from Finland, and yeah, it's been a whirlwind. It's amazing that we have such great technology coming from Finland nowadays, that we are happy to launch abroad. But a short summary of the past 5 years. So before Dear Lucy, I was in a company called Supermetrics that focuses on marketing analytics. So I got very accustomed to utilizing data in my day-to-day life and work and activity overall. When I joined the company, it was quite in the startup phase. The company was around 30 people overall, and I was the fourth salesperson to join. And we pretty much had a very fortunate position to have grown with inbound leads at that point. And then the idea was to start outbound operations as well. And I was hired to kick off the outbound operations. So scaling globally, and over the 5 years that I was working at Supermetrics, we scaled the company from 30 people to around 400 that it is today. And the sales team from the 5 people that were at the beginning to 100+ people. And if you take success altogether to the sales organization, it's roughly 150 people. So it was a whirlwind. It was a very fast growing scale up. So obviously data was essential when you take your operations to a new country and you form your go-to strategy and you recruit and grow teams very quickly, you need data in order to define your success. So I was very much knee-deep in CRM analytics, BI analytics, and my spreadsheets, obviously, trying to figure out how can we succeed. And I think as a sales leader, it's everyone's responsibility to facilitate the success for your sales team. So that's when I got very data-driven and data-curious myself. And that led me to Dear Lucy, where I've been now approximately 6 months. And essentially, we're in a same position. So we've been fortunate enough to grow with inbound. And the idea is now to scale scale globally with outbound motion, and that's why I'm here as well.
Yeah, I think Supermetrics is most likely well known for most of the audience. It's one of the most successful SaaS companies coming out from the region. I also happen to know Martin Ilman. I think he's nowadays head of RevOps at Supermetrics, but he used to be VP sales, so we played tennis with them every now and then. So Supermetrics, of course, very data-driven, and I guess it goes without saying it's also a data business in itself. Now, Dear Lucy is not as big. How do you feel? How has been the jump from a scale-up with 400 people to a company that is a little bit in the earlier phase? Has it been a shock for you, or like what are the goods and bads?
Well, Supermetrics wasn't always as data-driven as it is today. So when I actually started, I started with a pen and a notebook and a phone, and I started to do cold calls from Finland globally to US, UK, Australia, Central Europe, you name it. And when I started, we just started to implement the CRM. So we didn't have anything at that point. And it was the start of of the data journey overall. And I feel that is this, it applies to every company as well. So you start from somewhere and then you build on top of that. So it wasn't that it was a kind of a very advanced data driven organization from the beginning, but we started to grow it and we started to build the culture around that as well. And whereas Dear Lucy nowadays, obviously, as we focus on sales analytics and reporting and very advanced analytics, it's miles away from what Supermetrics was at the early stages. So it really shows that if you put emphasis on being data-driven and you really take that into your day-to-day, it will take you far, far ahead.
Yep. And that could be the main topic today as well, that we talk about being data-driven in B2B sales. I just had a presentation about that topic not too long ago, and I think most companies, they want to be data-driven. Like, I haven't met tons of sales leaders or sales ops leaders who would say that, no, it's not important for us. Everybody wants to be data-driven. But you have seen it yourself, not only at Supermetrics, but also when you work with your customers. Like, how do you actually get started? You have an ongoing business. Maybe you have some salespeople, you have customers, you have a product to sell. If you want to be data-driven, like, what are the first concrete steps you can do as a salesperson or sales leader if you want to be more data-driven?
I always say that there's no need to wait. You should start now. And I always say that just by implementing new tech, it's not going to make you any more successful as is. You need to start to build the culture around being data-driven. And the first step is to start to gather your data. So the sales team, all the way from individual sales reps to the leadership, needs to start to pay attention to data. Mm-hmm. And the first step is simply to start to gather your data in order for you to have very advanced data analytics or to utilize AI or any prescriptive models. You need to have data and you need to have a certain amount of data in order to get any insight out of it. So that is the first step. And the first step usually is to implement the CRM and have that one single source of truth where you have all your sales and revenue data.
Yeah. So first step is to start today, not tomorrow. And CRM implementation might be the first sort of concrete step. How about like the most important data points? Like, what do you actually need to store in that CRM? I know that, of course, it depends on the sort of go-to-market motion you have, but do you have any tips, like what type of data people should really make sure that they store in the CRM?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear a lot about, you know, I think everyone agrees that data is important, that yes, everyone wants to be more data efficient and data driven. But I think quite often sales organizations make it too complex. It's not that complex. You need to look at it from the benefit perspective. So what does it benefit for us to be gathering data? You know, looking at reports and looking at numbers is nothing if you don't know what to do with it. And if you don't have a clear benefit for everyone in the sales organization. And I always talk about that it's very important that the individual sales reps understand the anatomy of their selling methodology and how they succeed. So I would start with very basic activity and sales metrics. So logging your tasks from meetings, potentially calls if you're in a fast-paced outbound environment, but definitely meetings. Then obviously every information that you have regards to pipeline analytics, so moving your cases from the funnel, and then simple sales metrics as well. So the value, the amount of the cases that you have won, but also what you have lost. It's very important to understand how you win, but it's very important to also understand how you lose. Yeah. So that's where I would get started. So
yeah, it sounds like sales velocity formula, and maybe we can even add a screenshot of sales velocity formula here. But that's typically, I mean, it includes number of meetings or opportunities, hit rate or conversion, average deal size, and sale length of the sales process or sales cycle. So knowing those KPIs, I guess, is a good starting point. And then you mentioned that simply storing that type of activity data and understanding how cases move in the sales pipeline and how many cases get lost in a certain phase. Sounds quite easy and simple, but why do you think it's still very difficult to implement, and why do we have so many companies that simply do not have that data available, and people, for example, don't use the CRM the way they should be using it?
Well, I think it starts with the discipline and mindset. As I've said, no technology is going to make you happy, such as or successful. So you really need to shift your mindset towards actively changing your daily behavior, and change starts from an individual point of view, not from top down or bottom up, but from every individual. And you need to be disciplined with that. I know it is such a drag for every salesperson to be logging all the tasks in a CRM on a daily basis or weekly basis, but that is just something that you have to do. There are aspects in every job that you like more and you dislike. And I think that should be the starting point and a non-negotiable as well. It's not that you have a choice whether you can or cannot log your tasks, but it definitely comes from building the culture as well. And it doesn't happen overnight. Some weeks you don't log your tasks. Then you have them in your things to do list first thing Monday morning. You complete all your meetings. But also, I feel like when you have something that comes out from logging that data, you, for example, have some conversion funnels, you know where you have your strengths in managing the entire sales funnel, you know where you lose cases. I think that's where the magic happens as well. Sales is very binary. Sales is black and white. It's you either win a case or you lose a case. And every salesperson is out there to win more cases. So when you can utilize your own data to improve your sales methodology and your sales efficiency, and at the end of the day, get a better salary, get better commission, I think that's when it starts to be very interesting for the individual sales rep as well. And that is where you get the motivation, not from logging in those tasks to your CRM.
Yeah. And I like that mindset or sentiment that there are certain topics where we don't make compromises. So, for example, people, they have to use the CRM the way it's designed and explained in the CRM playbook. At the end of the day, of course, it's individual who's responsible for that. But how do you see it typically? Is it like head of sales who's following up with salespeople that they actually put the data into a CRM, or is it sales ops or revenue ops, or could it be a little bit almost anyone in the company? How do you typically see the responsibility, that who's responsible for that data hygiene or data quality in the CRM?
Quite often it's the immediate manager, so sales manager. I am very accustomed to starting my day with a message to my teams, update your CRM. And that is where it comes from. And once you build that and once you are disciplined yourself as well and you see what data shows you and what it tells you and how you can become more successful and more efficient, that is where the entire team starts to also understand the importance of data. At Supermetrics are used to have this insane spreadsheet that was on steroids that I used to fill out on a daily basis and trying to get an understanding of how can we succeed in a certain market. But that was just, it was a non-negotiable. I would have to remind my team almost every day. And at some point, we were in a level where most people would do it automatically and some people would still need the reminder. It's a never-ending task, I would say. It's part of your job as a sales manager or head of sales to ask your team to update your CRM. There are plenty of help that you can utilize, so you can have different kinds of CRM hygiene reports that your team can check where they're missing their log tasks, for example. And I think one of my greatest achievements as a sales lead was when I was on a holiday of some sort and I came back and my team was showing their reports and they had completed all of their tasks and I was like, my job here is done. This is the best thing you can see.
Exactly. I got excited about that Excel sheet that you mentioned. I know that we all, of course, we want data to live and be stored in the CRM or other systems, but quite often you see that certain often high-performing individuals, they might have their own template. And then at some point, the company tries to implement that approach to every person in the sales team. So just out of curiosity, what type of data points did you collect into that Excel sheet or spreadsheet that you mentioned? Was it simply like how many phone calls you need in a certain country? How many people pick up the phone if you call to UK versus Germany? Or like what were the metrics you collected in that spreadsheet?
Yeah, exactly those. And then I was doing a lot of lead analysis as well and trying to get an understanding of the most successful ICP and doing a win-loss analysis as well. So trying to map out, for example, how many meetings do we need in a certain countries in order to succeed, or what is the value of a booked meeting, for example, in a specific country or market.
And did you do this as a sales leader, or did you have a role in the sales ops or revenue ops team?
No, I did it for myself out of curiosity to best guide my team and to best succeed as well. I think there's a gut feeling is a big concept in sales, I would say. And I always do say trust your gut and trust your intuition. But I think in sales, we often tend to trust our gut a bit too much. And especially when you have your forecasting meetings, you have your one-on-ones, you look at your forecast for the quarter or the next quarter, and you have plenty of promising cases. But then most of the times, those deals won't come through. We know that is often the case, and I very much wanted to have data to back up that gut feeling and to confirm and verify and just compare overall. Is the collaborative gut feeling anywhere close to what the data really shows me of what we have closed and what we will close?
I think it's a good way to evaluate your current status regarding CRM usage. I think forecasting is a good example. Like, is the forecast, the actual final forecast, is it coming directly from the CRM? Because at least based on my experience, everyone agrees that we do have sort of the building blocks in the CRM. And in theory, we should have all the data we need in the CRM so that we could just pull out that forecast in real time and it's up to date. But what I see in practice is often there's this VP sales or sales management or even finance layer that is then taking that forecast and fine-tuning it, adding their own gut feel based on history. But at Dear Lucy, I would imagine that you work with tons of customers that use a CRM, because I guess you use lots of CRM data in Dear Lucy platform when you create those insights for companies. How good are organizations using CRMs, like, and how good is the data quality? How well have they implemented these best practices regarding CRM, for example, in the Nordics or elsewhere? Like, are we good at using CRMs or not?
I think it varies a lot from one company to another, from one industry to another. I think it really depends on the nature of your sales team, so what kind of products you are selling. And it has a correlation on your CRM usage and your analytics as well. But as said, this is a topic that everyone is interested in, and it's on everyone's lips. And I think especially now that the economical environment is not as good as it can be, I think every sales team is really trying to be the most efficient as they can be, and data can really help you there to drive the efficiency. And the baseline is that you need that data to begin with, and then the second level is start to use that data. So gather your insight, look at your historical data, what has happened previously, and then take it from there. So then you can utilize your historical data to try to get an understanding of what will or might happen next. And this is where we kind of start to take the data journey, data evolution as well, to utilize the tech that we have available right now. And obviously AI is here and is here to stay, and everyone's trying to implement that somehow. But in order, I think everyone knows, in order for AI to work, it needs fuel, and fuel is data. So you need that. That is the baseline.
Let's go back into that process, because we started by discussing how to get started if you want to be data-driven in sales. You mentioned starting today is important, then often implementing a CRM, and then I guess after that, making sure that people use the CRM the way it was designed to be used. But once you achieve that, you have a sales team, they use the CRM, you have the basics in place. Like, if you talk about that data journey, what's the next step then? Now you're collecting data, what happens after that?
Then you start to build your first report. So looking at your historical data, what has happened? How much have we sold? How many meetings have we had? How many deals have we closed? How long has it take for us to close this amount of deals? So you look hindsight. You look at your historical data. That is the next step. And then you start to utilize your data. Okay, so then what?
Is it typically VP sales looking at, like, the historical data, creating the reports, and is it also the same person who is then sort of taking the insights out of it so that you can define some actions based on what you see?
Yeah, so quite often it's the sales management that first starts. They need to report to the upper management and the board, obviously. So they need these numbers. They need their reports. And it's usually basic revenue reporting, not so much the activity side. That is not usually of interest. And then you go into our sales managers, so the direct managers of individual reps.
And you mentioned that then you go from insights into foresight. Like, do you have, like, a framework that you use yourself when it comes to this data journey, like start collecting and then you analyze and you create some actions based on that? Do you have, like, a framework that you use when you work with companies?
Well, with framework, do I have something official that I use as the guidelines? I use the standard data maturity model that applies to everything. So going from what has happened, what is likely to happen, and then what should I do next? And I think that's where the efficiency comes from as well. So understanding your data, letting your data to tell the story that it needs to tell, and then take that into defining your next best step. So you go into your activity models, for example. So you have your target of booking 20 meetings. Okay, use data to show you how you have achieved that previously. And then that is where you start with kind of utilizing data in your day-to-day. As I said previously, it needs to have a clear benefit of why should I use data. I know I hear that a lot from both leaders and individual reps. Okay, so why should I look at my data? What do I do with it? And I think it's vital that you know the anatomy of your selling. How do you succeed? Where are your strengths in managing the entire cycle? And how can you better succeed as well?
And you mentioned that often it's sales management, and of course each individual should look at the numbers. When do you feel it's time for another function to also jump into the game? Like, we see lots of companies implementing sales ops or revenue ops functions. Do you feel that a company needs to be a certain sized to do that, or what are your thoughts on sales ops and revenue ops as functions that often play a key role when it comes to data and insights?
I don't think data ownership fully lives in sales operations or revenue operations, nor it should be. I think data is everyone's responsibility. Obviously, rev ops, sales ops, those are the functions that serve and deliver individual sales teams, but they are not usually very close in the day-to-day of an individual sales team. So the data-driven mindset needs to be also in the sales function itself. And when the time is right for revenue ops or sales operations, I think if you have a sales team with a certain amount of sales reps, let's say 10 plus sales operations, rev ops, depending on how you define those two operations, are very important. It's not, they kind of maintain the entire sales architecture so that the sales team can focus on their day-to-day, which is creating more opportunities and more business for the company, not so much maintaining the technology or the reporting or sales enablement training. That falls on their table, and that then gives time for the sales team to focus and the sales management to focus on revenue attribution, really.
Yep. And when I listen to you, it's of course very obvious that you believe in data and you have been data driven yourself. Now, when you look back, your time at Supermetrics, your time at Dear Lucy, and also the experience you have with end customers, is there something that you would have done differently in the past, now when you know a lot more about data and the CRM market and how to implement this mindset of being data-driven? Anything that you would have done differently, something that you did not know, let's say, 5 years ago, but you do know now?
I would have started earlier. I think at Supermetrics, we probably put the focus on data a bit later than we could have. But I think that went really hand in hand with the hectic environment of a hyper-growth company where we couldn't really keep our focus on growing every individual function simultaneously. But if you're in that space where you can do something already then it's better to start earlier than later. I always say, in order to get any models to work in the future, and the technology and the field of data and data analytics, the pace of development is just going to get faster and faster. So in order for you to be on that train and not just be there left standing on the platform, you really should start early. You should have started already.
What's your take on all these? I mean, there's plenty of new AI tools, and sometimes I feel that it might be almost a competition between all these new shiny tools. I mean, you can ask AI to do account research. You can use AI to put together the first initial email or outreach message. And of course, fairly easy to get started with those sometimes siloed tools. Or do you think it's better to just focus on the basics? Get the meeting data in place, making sure that you have the notes either manually or automatically after each sales meeting in place. And only once you have the baseline, then start thinking about the new shiny AI tools. What's your take on that?
I think there's so much good tech around nowadays in sales overall that can really help you to become more efficient. They can cut time from manual tasks and manual data inputs and whatnot. But I would say it's kind of like building a house. Mm. You need the base structure first in order to then start to build on top of that. You need your floor before you can start to add the walls and then finally the ceiling. And I think technology evolution is the same. You need some kind of base structure before you can build on top of that. And that is usually how it goes as well. So you start with your CRM, then you start to implement some kind of prospecting tools, most likely. That is the second level, Vine or something similar. And then after that, you start to, you know, add layers of sales engagement tools. Mm-hmm. You have your recording platforms, then you have your analytics platforms, then you have different kinds of AI research tools. You have your AI SDRs nowadays. Obviously, take everything with a pinch of salt. AI mm-hmm. is still quite in the early phases. It's developing rapidly, but everyone needs to kind of get familiar with how AI works as well. And I would say start with the basics, build from there, and then you can add all the shiny new tech on top of that as well.
Yeah. And two last questions before we wrap this up. Now you cannot mention Supermetrics or Dialusi or Vino, but what are some of the good examples? I mean, you have seen lots of companies, you have met with lots of sales professionals. Do you have any examples, either individuals or companies, that you feel are really good at being data-driven in B2B sales? Maybe some of the people who listen to this podcast, maybe they want to learn from others. So any good success stories or examples that you can mention?
I would say the most data-driven sales organizations are the ones that have a heavy outbound team. That is where you usually need the most data. Mm. The more markets that you're focusing on as well. Finland is doing relatively okay, I would say, in the data maturity. Yeah. Nordics are a bit ahead of us. So Sweden definitely has taken technology in. We have a great example from one of our clients. It's a fast-growing SaaS company called Ingrid from the Nordics, and they are very data-driven. They have a lot of operations in different markets, and that is where one of our best clients and most active as well.
Yep. And finally, it was super nice to have you in the podcast. Do you have any people in mind who could be interesting next guest in this podcast? Who do you like to see and hear opinions on data and B2B sales and RevOps and CRM? Anybody you can mention?
Anybody I can mention? To be honest, I don't know who you've had on this show earlier already, but I think it would be nice to if you have any connections to kind of UK, towards UK. Mm-hmm. I know they are quite many steps ahead when it comes to doing heavy outbound, and I've been working with the UK market and UK team, so kind of hearing from them and hearing from the most advanced sales organizations as well, I think that's always the most interesting, kind of painting the picture of how efficient a sales team could be.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people who live in the UK, but they've been working for US or German-based companies. I've done sales in the UK myself for a month, and it's definitely the most difficult market. Of course, I was a rookie in that market, but compared to the US, I feel UK, I don't know exactly the reason, but might be even tougher for B2B salesperson. So that's definitely a good tip. Any final key takeaways you want to give out to the audience? Start today. That was at least one.
Start today, and also understand that it takes time. Change takes time. Creating a new culture takes time. But the longer you wait, the more behind you are as well. And the easiest way to start change is by changing yourself. If you can't, generate the change in yourself, you can't expect anyone else to change either.
Excellent. That's a good way to wrap it up. Big thanks for being part of the podcast. Thanks also for everyone who's been listening in, and we'll be back with a new episode in a few weeks. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Mikko. It was a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Interesting as always. And thanks, everyone, watching us and listening us as well. Feel free to connect with me.
That's good. See ya. Bye.
See ya.